Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر والله أكبر الله أكبر والله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون الله سبحانه وتعالى He opens Surah Al-Mu'minun with the statement, indeed the believers are successful, those who have khushu' in their salah. And khushu' is a type of presence, right? Specifically khushu' is a type of reverence or fear, where the feeling of knowing that you're in the salah and standing in front of Allah makes you so focused and so present in that moment that the people can see it when they look at you. That the signs of your presence and the focus in the prayer because of your realization of the depth and the weightiness of that standing in front of Allah has signs that can be seen on the body of the person. So this is the description of the believers, the successful people. And then Allah continues, He gives further descriptions of the believers, that they give their zakah, that they are people who stay away from al-laghu, from vain and useless talk, that they're people who stand by their word and they fulfill their commitments, and they're chaste people, they're people of modesty. And then finally, after all of these descriptions, he comes back again, once again, to the salah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ And those who are consistent in their salah. They do muhafaza on their salah. They preserve their salah and make it consistent. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ Those are the ones who will inherit the highest level of Jannah and remain in there forever. So Allah describes for us the people of the highest levels of paradise that will stay in there forever, the successful believers, and of all of their descriptions, the first one is the quality of their salah, and the last one is the consistency of their salah. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of as-sa'i, of exerting yourself for what you want. And we talked about how you can tell what's important to a person by what it is that they exert themselves for. Right? So everyone, كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِرَتِي. Everyone you will tell by their actions what is it that they're trying to achieve out of this life. So he said if the person is trying to achieve closeness to Allah in al-fawz bil-jannah, then you should be able to tell that by what it is that they put their energies towards. And we gave the example that if we really care about coming close to Allah, then that should show itself in the way that we care about our salah. That making our salah the best that it can possibly be should be a primary concern for us in our lives. So now we're going to build on that conversation. And let's take for granted that all of us are in that state, that we've decided that our primary concern, one of the things that we're most focused on in this life, is to perfect our salah. Now, let's start to look at some of the practical steps that we can take to improve our salah and make it the best that we possibly can. We said here that Allah opens the description of the believers with a description of their salah, and He closes it with a description of the salah. But two different descriptions. One, khushu', this is the quality of the salah. Then, ala salawatihim yuhafidhun, this is the consistency. So, these are the two things that we should be looking for in our salah. That our salah is consistent and it has quality. So we start with the consistency. Because this one has to be in place first before the quality. Right? Even if you imagine you are a boss, you employ people and you have different workers. One worker, he's excellent at his job. He does it perfectly when he does it. But he only actually shows up every once in a while. Right? This person will not be of benefit to you, right? You would rather take the person that, okay, maybe they're not the best at their job, but you know you can rely upon them. You know they show up consistently every time you're expecting them to be there at the office. Right? So the same thing with the salah. It's better to be consistent in your salah, even if you don't have the highest level of khushu', than it is for someone to feel that when they do pray, they have this great presence with Allah, but they only actually pray every once in a while and they're not fulfilling their commitments to Allah. Because that outward act of praying your five daily salawat consistently in their times, this is an obligation upon all Muslims. Then when it comes to your level of your khushu' and your presence in the salah, then this is a project that you're working on for your entire life. So we start with the obligation of al-muhafadha ala salawat, that we are consistent in our prayers. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Allah says that the salah is prescribed at written times for the people. And one of the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyul a'mali afdal. He asked, what is the best of all actions? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, As-salatu li waqtiha. The prayer in its correct time. Right? So this is one of the foremost obligations that we have in front of Allah, that we're praying consistently in the correct times. So this requires some sa'i. This requires from us some effort. If somebody is serious about making sure that they're praying consistently at all of the right times, then they should be scheduling their day around the salah. Why is it that people end up missing salah sometimes? Either one, because they just don't care, they're not serious about salah, or because they get busy with other things and they run out of time, or they forget and they become distracted and they miss their salah. Right? So your consistency in performing your salah starts with you looking towards your day around the salah. that you schedule your salah into your day. Right, so it starts from the night before. When you're going to sleep at night, you're already thinking about Salatul Fajr in the morning. You're making sure, what is your plan to make sure that you're awake for Salatul Fajr? You already have your plan. Where are you going to pray? Do you have a plan to come to the masjid and pray? Are you planning on praying in your house? Are you planning on praying alone? Or are you planning on gathering your family together to pray with you? You have your alarm set. Maybe if you're one of those people that one alarm isn't enough, you know you have to have several alarms set to make sure that you get up on time. You know what time the adhan for Salatul Fajr will be called and what time the sunrise is. So you know the window that you have. And so you plan to make sure that you wake up in time, that you have a comfortable window, that you can make your wudu, that you can pray two rakahs sunnah, that you can gather your thoughts together, that you can pray your two rakahs of Salatul Fajr without being in a hurry, and then without having to think, okay, is the sun about to rise any moment while I'm in the middle of my prayer? And then that you have time to make your dhikr after the salah. You've scheduled all this. You're planning for that because your salah is important to you. When you're going through your day, when you're working or you're going to school, you have your plan already. You know, okay, dhuhr time is going to come while I'm at my office or while I'm at work. And so you have your plan. When is the window when I'm going to make time to pray? Where am I going to pray? How am I going to make wudu? All of those things, you're not waiting until the time for prayer is about to run out and then you say, oh wait, I got to get my act together and figure out how I'm going to do all of these things. No, you've already scheduled it into your day because it's so important to you. On days when you're out running errands, you're going your grocery shopping, you're going to the mall and doing some shopping, you're doing a family outing with your family, you've already planned for the salah. You don't just go out and start shopping at the mall and then you say, oh no, there's only 15 minutes left for Salatul Dhuhr, it's almost Asr time, what are we going to do? No, you already planned it ahead. You said, okay, we're going at 12 o'clock and we have this much time to make salah, so we're going to make sure we're gone in time to make it back to the house so that we can pray, or we're going to stop at the masjid on the way, or we know there's a certain place outside where we can pray comfortably, so we're going to make a plan to take a break and pray at that place at that time. Right? If you're really serious about your muhafazah, about your sticking to your salah, then you will make these arrangements ahead of time. Because most of the times when people become easy with their salah and they start missing one by one here and there, and then it gets to more than that, that maybe they just pray every once in a while when they happen to be in the masjid or somebody else is praying. This is how it starts, by not giving attention to scheduling the salah into your day. So this is about the consistency. Now let's talk a little bit about the quality. The quality of our salah has two main enemies. There's two weapons that the shaitan will use against you to diminish the quality of your salah. The first is to be in a hurry, and the second is to be distracted. 99% of poor quality in our salah comes from these two places. We're in a hurry, or we're distracted, or maybe both at the same time, because you're in a hurry to finish the salah to go do the thing that you're distracted by. So we have to fight that feeling of being hurried in our salah. So part of that goes back to what we were just talking about scheduling your salah into your day. You make sure that you have adequate time blocked out to pray your salah, so you don't have to feel that you're in a hurry. You don't have to feel that if I don't rush through my salah, then I'm not going to make it back from my lunch break in time, or I'm not going to be able to make it back to my class in time, or I'm not going to be able to make it to pick up the kids from school on time, or whatever it may be. Because you've already scheduled it, so you know you don't have to be in a hurry. But the reality is, lots of times, we have the time. There's nowhere else we have to be. There's nothing else we have to do. And we still pray very hurriedly. Right? Because I see it in the masjid all the time. Somebody will come, They're coming for a fard prayer. So maybe there's 15 minutes left before the prayer. There's nothing that they're going to do except sit in the masjid and wait for the prayer. But still the two rakahs of Tahiyatul Masjid that they pray come in like that, like it's a race. Even though there's nothing else that they have to do, they have plenty of time to take the time and pray with reflection and taking our time, right? So some of it is just that we get in a bad habit. And for whatever reason, we started praying very hurriedly and quickly, and that just becomes our habit. That's the only way we know to pray, and we never think about it, and we just continue like that. And they say that, you know, habits are the enemy of religion, right? Because religion is that you have niyyah, you have intentionality to your actions. You're thinking about what you're doing and how you're doing it in every moment. A habit is you just do things because you're on autopilot. So we have to fight that inclination to be on autopilot in our salah. So we take our time, and it has to start from the very beginning, from the takbiratul ihram. I found more than one person from the salaf who made the exact same statement. They said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَتَهَاوَنُ فِي تَكْبِيرَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ فَغْسِلْ يَدَيْكَ مِنْ. More than one person from the Salaf said, when you see the person being lazy in the opening takbir of their prayer, then wash your hands of that person and be done of him. As if they said, the sign of somebody being worthless and there being no good in the person at all is that they're lazy in the opening takbir of the prayer. Because maybe sometimes we're present and focused in the beginning, but then after that, we start to get distracted and our minds wander, right? And maybe sometimes we can be excused in that. But what's the excuse to not even try to start the prayer on the right foot and with the right mindset, right? So it starts from the very beginning. We stand straight, collect your thoughts, you make your intention, and then you take your time, Allahu Akbar. You take a deep breath. And then you say the words of the salah, your opening dua. Subhanakallahum. You take your time, reflecting on every word if you know the meaning of the words. If you don't know the meaning of the words, you still take your time just focusing on saying each word. And it's very important to know, when you're praying by yourself or you're praying a silent prayer, praying silently means you read where you can hear yourself, but not where other people can hear you. Right? So there's no such thing as just reading inside of your mind. Right? It's not just you say Allahu Akbar and then you think in your head, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. There's no prayer like that. Salah is that you're moving your mouth and a voice is coming out, but if it's a silent prayer, the voice is very quiet, so only you hear yourself and nobody else can hear you. So that means that if you're saying those words, it's going to take some time. Right? Some people, they say Allahu Akbar, and then they go into ruku so fast, I said, there's no way they read Surah Al-Fatiha, much less the dua at the beginning or anything else. And in each position, you take your time and you focus. And even sometimes when you're praying by yourself, you can take extra time. When you go into ruku', you say, Subhana Rabbil Azeem, Subhana Rabbil Azeem, Subhana Rabbil Azeem. But you feel like, I don't feel like I'm present, then no problem. Zid alay. Do some more. Subhana Rabbil Azeem, Subhana Rabbil Azeem. Till you feel that you really have reached that level of presence in the prayer. So the first thing, we have to take our time. The second enemy I mentioned is being distracted. And when you're distracted in the prayer, it has to be for one of three things. Either you're distracted by something that happened before the salah that you're still thinking about. Right? Sometimes maybe we get in a fight with somebody, we're angry, then it's time to pray, and we go to the prayer, and the whole time we're still just thinking about the fight that we got in. Or you're distracted by something that's happening while you're praying. Right? And this is why the Prophet discouraged people to pray in the presence of food that they're hungry and want to eat, as long as they have enough time that they could eat first and then pray later. Because you don't want to have something there that's distracting you while you're in the prayer. Or you're distracted by something that you're thinking about that's going to happen after the salah. So each one of these, we we have to fight on its own. Being distracted by things that happen before the salah, you have to work to get that out of your mind before you start the salah. You can't just go into the salah thinking about something else and then expect that you're going to be present in the salah. So you have to take a few moments or a few minutes or however much time you need to clear your mind before you enter into the salah. And this is one of the benefits of having nafl salah before the obligatory salah. Because sometimes you pray your 2 rak'ahs of entering the masjid, or your 4 rak'ahs before dhuhr, or your 2 rak'ahs between the adhan and the iqamah, and maybe you're not completely focused, but it's nafl salah anyway, so whatever focus is there, you'll get reward for the amount of focus that you had, and then you've prepared yourself, so now your mind is present for the obligatory salah. For distractions in the salah, you have to do your part to try to eliminate them as much as possible. Right? So if there's anything distracting taking place, you try to eliminate that before the prayer starts. Right? You make sure that you have a quiet place, free of distractions. If there's something, like we said, like food or somebody, another thing, the Prophet ﷺ discouraged people to pray when they feel the need that they have to use the restroom. All of those things, you eliminate them. Then after that, once you enter into the salah, if something starts to take place around you that makes it hard to concentrate, you do your best, and inshallah there's no blame upon you for things that are out of your control. Right? Loud noises start happening outside, there's a child crying, something like that. Thing that you yourself don't have any control over, you just try your best to stay focused, and inshallah Allah won't hold you accountable for that thing that was happening around you. For distractions about things that will take place after the salah, you have to just keep reminding yourself that this is not the time for that. It will pop into your mind, oh, what are you going to do later this afternoon? Okay, what are you going to prepare for dinner? What's the plan for after you get off work? All of those things, you might not have any control to stop them from coming into your mind to begin with, but once they're there, you have to push them away. And you tell yourself, this is not the time for that. This is my time to be with Allah. And as soon as I'm done with the salah, I'll think about those things and worry about those things. So you just delay it. You say, I'm not going to think about that right now. I'll worry about that in a few minutes. And there's another root cause between all distractions in the salah, which is attachment to the dunya, attachment to this world. Because nobody says, oh, I can't focus in my salah because I'm too busy thinking about the hellfire, I'm too busy thinking about Jannah, I'm too busy thinking about Allah. No, those are the things you're supposed to be thinking about in the salah. If you're distracted in your salah, then that means you're distracted by some affair from the affairs of the dunya. So we also have to, outside of our salah, constantly be working on cutting off that attachment to the dunya and that concern for the dunya. We live in the dunya, we use the dunya to come close to Allah, but you have to cut off that concern that that is your primary focus, because if it's your primary focus all of the time outside of the salah, then it's going to be very hard to flip that switch to not think about it while you're in the salah. And finally, I close saying that spiritual health is like physical health. It's something that takes constant attention. Right, if you want to become physically healthy, it's not that you work very hard to achieve it and then you say, okay, now I achieved it and then now I don't have to do anything after that, it will stay like that. Well, you have to work very hard to achieve it, then you have to work hard to maintain it and to keep raising and getting better and better and better. So our spiritual health is the same way. It's something that requires constant attention. And a primary example of that is our salah. It's not that we get to a point where we're good in our salah and then we can just go after that and not worry about it. We have to every single day be giving the attention to make sure that we are keeping the quality and the consistency in our salah, and that we're building upon that as well and becoming better and better and better. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. الله تعالى استفتح هذه السورة الكريمة بوصف المؤمنين المفلحين بخشوعهم في صلاتهم، ثم زاد على تلك الصفة صفات أخرى حتى ختم الآية أو الصرف من الصفات بوصف المؤمنين بوالذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون. فهاتان الصفتان من أهم صفات المسلم في حياته، خشوعه في صلاته ومحافظته على صلاته. وفي تحصيل هاتين الصفتين كلام طويل، ولكن يمكن أن نلخص القول بأن للخشوع في الصلاة عدوين رئيسيين: أن تكون مستعجلا، الاستعجال في الصلاة، وأن تكون مشغول البال. ولكل واحد من هذين العدوين سلاح يمكن أن ندفع هذا العدو به. فدواء مرض الاستعجال في الصلاة أن ننظر إلى الصلاة على أنها هي المقصود، لأن الاستعجال في الصلاة يأتي بأننا ننظر إلى خارج الصلاة كأنه هو المقصود من الحياة، فيجب أن نتخلص من الصلاة حتى ننتهي إلى ما نريده من الدنيا. فيجب أن ننظر من الزاوية الأخرى إلى الصلاة على أنها هي المقصود، ثم كل ما يحدث من بين الصلوات فذلك من ضروريات الحياة، يجب أن نتخلص منها إلى الصلوات. ثم دواء مرض الاشتغال في الصلاة بغير الصلاة هو الزهد في الدنيا، لأنك لابد إن كنت مشغولا في الصلاة فبالك مشغول بشيء خارج من الصلاة من أمور الدنيا. فالشخص الذي يزهد في الدنيا أصلا ولا ينظر إليها إلا على أنها وصيلة إلى الله، فلن يشغله شيء من أمور هذه الدنيا في صلاته. أسأل الله تعالى أن يرزقنا الخشوع وأن يجعلنا من المحافظين على صلواتهم ومن المؤمنين المفلحين الوارثين الفردوس، آمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، آمين. قوموا إلى صلاتكم.